Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. You know, I remember during the Bush years when they were Bush bashers, I would turn off the show immediately saying, I can't take the Bush bashing anymore. So if I start by bashing Obama, you'll say I can't take the Obama bashing anymore. So I don't intend to bash Obama. I'm going to let you decide if you think it's appropriate for his wife, Michelle Obama, who has abused the privilege of being First Lady in her excessive travels, her abuse of the numbers of staff members, etc. If you listen to what I'm about to play for you, okay, I'll back up. How are you today? It's Blue Monday. You're having a nice day. I'm not telling you a meatball story. I'm going to ask you to listen to a soundbite from this weekend where the First Lady goes to a graduation in Topeka, Kansas, and immediately stirs up racial enmity in clip number 4. Just listen to this.
Because the fact is that your experience here in Topeka would have been unimaginable back in 1954.
Here we go again.
When Brown versus Board of Education first went to the Supreme Court, this would not be possible.
Again. Animal Farm.
As you all know, back then, Topeka, like so many cities, was segregated. So black folks and white
folks. You hear this?
Had
separate
restaurants,
they want to turn the clock
hotels,
back.
Separate movie theaters, swimming pools, and, of course, the elementary schools were segregated, too.
How do you feel about the First Lady of the United States stirring up such racial enmity in this speech? But wait, if you think it's an isolated event, you're wrong. There is a war going on. If you were to listen to any of the several commencement speeches given by various members of the Obama administration over this weekend, including Nancy Pelosi, Eric Holder, and Michelle Obama, you would think that they were rallying troops for a coming civil war. I want you to now listen to the next one. Play any of them, Neil. The people don't believe what they're listening to. Listen to this one.
Codified segregation of public schools has been barred since Brown.
There you go again.
But in too many of our school districts, significant divisions persist and segregation has reoccurred, including zero tolerance school discipline practices that, while well-intentioned and aimed at promoting school safety, affect black males at a rate 3 times higher than their white peers.
Now listen to that. Listen to what this lunatic just said. Zero tolerance policies on various and sundry offenses in schools are affecting black males at a rate of 3 times higher than their peers, as if they're targeting black males, not because the black males are causing more mayhem. Do you understand what's going on here? It's Animal Farm. It's upside down. It's doublespeak. It's everything we were warned about. Everything we were warned about from the beginning of the consciousness of social engineers and social engineering. Do you think the members of the Obama administration are going too far in these commencement speeches? I certainly do. I believe that they're stirring up conflict on purpose, incidentally. But it gets even better. In the next clip, little Timmy Geithner, remember him? The stooge frontman that they used for years to run the Treasury Department. The stooge now gets up there, a spoiled rich white boy from Queens, New York, grew up in a well-to-do family. They took care of him. This jerk, Geithner, has the nerve to suddenly get down with the same message and says how well you do in life depends on the color of your skin. I'm not making it up. Listen to Geithner now.
We have tremendously high numbers of people living in poverty. We've had a long period where the median income has not grown, big rise in inequality, and to an extent which should not be acceptable to Americans. You know, how well you do in life today, how good your education is, how good your health care is, depends too much on the color of your skin or how rich your parents is. And that's something that should worry all Americans.
You lousy thing, you. You liar, you. How do you face your wife and children if you have them? How do you face your parents, Geithner? Aren't you ashamed that you've become... I have a word for it, but it's a German word that I fear using on the air because it'll be misinterpreted. Geithner, you're an embarrassment to the human race. How could you, a spoiled, rich white boy from Queens, New York, I think you grew up in one of the five towns, Lawrence or one of those towns, How do you have the nerve to get up there and make believe that you're down with the people who are oppressed in America? It's 2014, Geithner. Little Timmy Geithner joins Michelle Obama, joins Eric Holder, and it goes on. It goes on. It gets better now. You ready for this one? Here is none other than one of the wealthiest women in the world, perhaps the most powerful woman in the world, Nancy Pelosi, acting as though she's a member of the Occupy movement. When you listen to this, you'll understand why I tell you they're trying to stir up a civil war in this country. Listen to this now from Pelosi.
Our founders were successful disruptors of the then status quo. Being called a disruptor, in my view, is a very high compliment. You here in Berkeley are already disruptors in many ways. In 1964, Mario Savio and company were disruptors of the
status quo. A piece of garbage. A piece of garbage, Mario Savio.
When he and his activists occupied Sproul, their exercise of free speech could only travel as fast as television, radio, and
newspaper. Oh, my God. Listen to this.
Think of your possibilities.
Oh, my God.
It's all about you.
Did you listen to what this woman just said? She is one of the most powerful, one of the richest women on earth. A woman who has greatly enriched herself during her years in politics because of her genius. Stirring up the idiots at the University of California to go out and be disruptors. Citing Mario Savio, who was nothing, a loser, a sad sack, a nobody. No one remembers him. Now, why would Michelle Obama, Eric Holder, Timmy Geithner, and Nancy Pelosi on the same weekend come out and tell people to go out and to disrupt? Disruptors are good. How about disrupting Nancy Pelosi's office with some questions about her? You think she would take well to that? How about if the conservatives in America or fair-minded people in America went outside Nancy Pelosi's office and started asking questions about her, her finances? Do you think that she would welcome those disruptors? You know she wouldn't. How do you feel about this government stoking racial divisions? And why do you think they do it? Now, you know what I think. And that is this. In October, I have a major book coming out, Stop the Coming Civil War. I felt that the Bundy standoff was the beginning, the first shot in this war, when the government aimed telescopic sights at pregnant women and children, and only at the last minute were called off from killing innocent Americans who were simply exercising their rights of his free assembly. And here you have Nancy Pelosi saying, be a disruptor. What did she say about the Bundy standoff? She called him every name under the sun. What does Eric Holder say about people who exercise the rights of a free speech and free assembly? What do they say? They're not just hypocrites. They're very dangerous. They're very, very dangerous. Why do you think they're doing this? And moreover, do you think it's appropriate for universities to hire politicians to give speeches at graduations? As you well know, I'm one of the most famous writers and broadcasters in the United States of America. When have you last heard me invited to give a graduation speech? Never. The lousy, low-life, left-wing fascists wouldn't even let someone as modest as Condoleezza Rice give a speech in Rutgers last week. The low-life leftists who don't even belong in colleges, they belong in a penitentiary, disrupted the university's invitation to Condoleezza Rice. When have you last heard a conservative of any stripe at any level give a speech at a college? The answer is never. We have let a group of a small group of small-minded radical communists take over the universities and take over the blogosphere and take over the TV commentators and take over the editorials at papers like the New York Times. They don't represent the people. They don't even represent a large majority of the Democrat voters who are so ignorant they don't even know what's going on. There's another clip. You ready for this? Here's John Kerry at Yale talking about poverty again. Here's a man, one of the richest men in the world. Listen to this now.
If we don't do more to coordinate an attack on extreme poverty, provide education, opportunity, and jobs, we invite instability, and I promise you, radical extremism is all too ready to fill the vacuum left behind.
Did you hear what he just said? He is literally saying that he will stir up the masses to riot and burn cities down. He just said radical extremism. What do you think Kerry meant by radical extremism is ready to fill the gap? It means the mobs have the Molotov cocktails. The mobs have the matches. They're just waiting for their marching orders from this administration that wants a conflagration, in my estimation. This administration which wants a conflagration, in my estimation. Three words that end in N. That opens up a line at 855-400-7282. I will ask you again. Why do you think they're doing this? Do you actually agree with me? Do you think that they're doing this on purpose? I do. They're all giving the same speech in a different form. They're trying to scare people and they're trying to stir up the masses to revolt. What is it that they really want? They're flooding America with illegal aliens. They released thousands of criminals from Mexico, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and other countries that were imprisoned. They released them and many of them went on to rape and murder again. Why are they releasing dangerous criminals onto the streets? Is this all tied into the coming civil war? Listen to me. You may say, I don't want to hear it anymore. I've heard it all before. No, you haven't heard it all before. Don't be a moron and think you heard it all before. You haven't heard all of it before. You probably heard none of it before. All you heard are clowns and entertainers pretending that all is well in this land. All is well, not all is not well in this land. We have the most dangerous fanatics in the history of the United States of America trying to set the nation on fire. It starts with rhetoric and then it moves to a Rodney King. It starts with rhetoric and it moves to a city burning. Is that what you want? You want your city to burn in the name of equality? Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Your child to be on a campus throwing Molotov cocktails? Is that what you want? Because that's what you're going to get unless you stand up and say, enough is enough from these left-wing fanatics. Just say no to Holder. Just say no to that liar, Michelle Obama, who talks about the 1954 civil rights era as though it's today to a group of African-American kids in a high school in Topeka, Kansas. Now, why would she say that to these children when they've grown up in a colorblind society with every opportunity in the world, not only equal opportunity, I will dare say a better opportunity. And I know it for a fact that corporations bend over backwards to give minorities a boost up, to show that they're nice and good. We know universities, every child knows that they're going to take minorities with lower grades, lower SATs. Everyone knows that for a fact, and very few people will say it. Everyone knows it for a fact. Even the most liberal white girl listening to this show knows it for a fact. But she's uncomfortable hearing it because she's been brainwashed into thinking that just saying what is racist. That's called brainwashing. You know, back in the 1930s, there was a regime called the Nazi regime in Germany. And they made children think certain ways. In fact, they made children turn on their parents. They made children report their parents if they were suspected of not being loyal to the party, the Nazi party, not being loyal to the government. The children were encouraged to report their parents. Do you think we're very far from that in this country when you have a group of left-wing fanatics from the president on downward, including the list of characters that I just named for you and played their sound bites? Do you think that they actually want peace in the land, or do they want something else in the land? Now, many of you say, look, it's enough, Mike. I can't take it. It's Monday. What the heck can I do about it? What can I do about it? Well, why don't we talk about what you can do about it? Right here on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
When you watch a show like The Walking Dead, you don't think it's about a black guy, a black woman, an Asian guy, a gay couple, and some white people. You think it's about a bunch of folks trying to escape some zombies, right? Period. And then when some folks got all worked up about a cereal commercial with an interracial family, you all were probably thinking, really? What's the problem with that? When folks made a big deal about Jason Collins and Michael Sam coming out as gay, a lot of kids in your generation thought, what is the issue here?
So she's pandering now at every turn. This is the first lady now. This is not just a college teacher, which you'd expect from left-wing college teachers. Here is the first lady who abuses her privilege as first lady, in my estimation, by her many, many excessive trips, by her excessively large staff, by not permitting the press to travel with her to China. No one knows what she did there. One trip after the other, by flying their dog Bo to Martha's Vineyard last summer on an Osprey military helicopter, acting like the downtrodden minority, acting like the oppressed woman, acting as though she's in solidarity with everyone who's oppressed in the world. And we go on, but not to be outdone. There was Hillary Clinton, again, on message with the group. Listen to this one now. Neil, fire away.
As Secretary of State, I saw the way extreme inequality has corrupted other societies, hobbled growth, and left entire generations alienated and unmoored.
How about in our society? Do you think that the extreme inequality created by your elites have hobbled our growth and have left entire generations alienated and unmoored? Listen to the next one where she acts like she's one of the poor in 18.
From Guatemala to Greece to Pakistan, I urged elites to pay their fair share, to provide services that would be the base on which more of their fellow countrymen and women could climb out of poverty.
Here is a woman, perhaps the most powerful woman in the world, next to Nancy Pelosi, urging elites to pay their fair share? What is the fair share? How much of the Clinton Foundation money has gone into someone's pockets? You know about the corruption in the old Clinton Foundation, don't you? You know about the audits of the Clinton Foundation and what they've uncovered, don't you? You know about the slush fund on the... You don't know any of that. If the Clintons are not elites, tell me who are. I'm an elite? Well, I would say she's one of the most elite people on the planet. So now she's acting like she's down with what? A washerwoman in Guatemala? Why are they doing this? I'm asking you again, listen to me, you in a taxi cab, you in a jail cell, you in your office listening on headphones. How do you feel about this administration, this government constantly stoking racial and economic divisions? And why do they do it? Why are they all on the same message? What are they trying to achieve? I'm Michael Savage. Who are you? 855-400-7282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You come from all walks of life, and you've taken so many different paths to reach this moment. Maybe your ancestors have been here in Kansas for centuries, or maybe... like mine, they came to this country in chains.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe your family just arrived here in search of a better life.
Oh, my God.
But no matter how you got here, you have arrived at this day together.
Do you think it's appropriate for a First Lady who is the most powerful woman in the world, who has used affirmative action her entire life to get where she is, to talk about her ancestors coming here in chains? How do you feel about this government constantly stoking racial divisions? She gave that speech to a group of African-American kids in a largely African-American high school, I'm not certain. Every commencement speech this weekend from one of these radicals, Holder, Michelle Obama, Nancy Pelosi, you name it, was the same message. Oppression and fighting against oppression, rising up against oppression, if need be, through disruption, in other words, through violence. I am telling you they're planning something. And at the same time, here's a new story related to this subject. 9 presidents of public colleges earned over $1 million a year last year. Even though tuition has gone up, the number of college presidents at public colleges earning over $1 million a year more than doubled in the 2012-2013 fiscal year from the year before. I have the names of these greedy grifters. And I'll ask you again, don't you think that all of these powerful rich people, Pelosi, Michelle Obama, Timothy Geithner, John Kerry, college presidents, don't you think they're just trying to stir the kids up so the kids don't march outside their offices and say, wait a minute, for God's sakes, the tuition went up and you're making over $1 million a year at a public college? You don't see what they're doing? I see what they're doing. You say, well, okay, Mike, now move on. I don't know if I want to move on. Do you think the Obama administration is hurting or helping race relations in America by constantly harping on Brown versus the Board of Education? We came here in chains. What do you think they're trying to do? How do you feel about this? What are they aiming for? Let's begin with some callers. I'll give you all the news of the day and some personal stories about what I did this weekend, what I ate, what I drank, how many feet I walked, how many breaths I took, what liniments I may have used on my sore muscles, what nail clipper I used. Carol on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. A pleasure. I'd like to say the race wars are coming. Let's get it on, get it over with, start over again. How much more can people take? If they're amassing their troops, it's time for us to amass ours.
Well, when you say their troops, who are their troops?
Well, any minority that thinks that white people are the devils, okay, or, you know, that's who their troops are.
Well, why would Timothy Geithner, a spoiled little rich boy from Lawrence, New York, talk about skin color being the best arbiter of success in America? How could he dare say that? I mean, I could see Holder doing it because that's what he's done his whole life. That's his one song. I could see Michelle doing it. She used this racket to get where she is. But Pelosi to do it? One of the richest women in the world? What is she kidding? Be a disruptor?
It keeps the focus.
I mean, let me ask you something. When it starts to burn, baby, burn, do you think they're going to miss Pelosi's mansion on Pacific Heights? What, are they going to paint a number on her doorstep and say, don't burn that one? What is wrong with these people? Okay. All right, let's lighten it up a bit. Let's have some rock and roll, Neil, because I don't think I can take much more of this. I'm getting a migraine. Actually, I'm not. I could do this for 3 hours. I'm so excited. But if you want to talk on this, go ahead. Why are they stoking racial fires? Mark on WABC in New York. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, a pleasure to speak to you. They're doing all this because of their incompetence. They know that they're incapable of accomplishing anything that would help society. So instead of admitting that, they're just looking to blame others, Dr. Savage.
So in other words, the Veterans Administration scandal is someone else's fault. It's white racists did it.
Everything is some...
Fast and Furious, running guns to Mexican drug lords, machine guns by Holder, is a white man's doing.
Of course, because they tried to do their...
The failed climate change game is up, and that's because of greedy white males. Is that it, that the truth came out?
Because they can't fill the potholes, and they want to blame it on somebody else.
Mark, well, look, you called the show from New York City. Why would you call a radio show when you knew what I was getting at, and you heard it just by listening to Michelle Obama, you knew what I was going to get at? What agitated you sufficient to call the show?
It's because enough is enough already, and it's a shame that the people don't understand or they're not informed in the proper way. That's why you, Dr. Savage, are a beacon. I appreciate listening to your show, and thank you for that.
All right. Well said. It's enough. I don't need my halo burnished. You know, over the weekend, I'll give you a little personal story since you all want to hear meatball stories. I know a guy who loves my show. He says, you know, I don't like your politics. Why don't you give us a meatball recipe? Yeah, that's 99% of your appeal is your meatball recipe. I said, if you think that's the appeal of my show, you haven't a clue as to why I'm doing as well as I've done for these 20 years and why I'm still in radio. You don't understand it. The meatball is the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae. You don't talk about the cherry, you talk about the ice cream sundae. My show is the ice cream sundae. The meatball is the meatball on top of the ice cream sundae. Don't switch set and frame, but he didn't understand me. But I'll give you a meatball story anyway, which is not about meatballs. Over the weekend, I went to a charity dinner. I go once a year to the Marin General Hospital Foundation. I support their emergency room because they've helped me a lot. I wound up in there 3 times in the last year, and they gave me great care. I wish that I could get better care than the illegal aliens, but I had to wait online behind people who aren't even citizens to get my care. But once I got in there, past the illegal aliens, who were coughing and spewing in the ER room, I got great care. So I become very, you know, as helpful as I can right now. So I went to the dinner, and I had a table of 8 friends I invited. Gala dinner under a tent in Sausalito, California. Everyone's heard of Sausalito. Beautiful by the bay. I mean, everything was first class, and my friends were great. And someone said to me, Jay, I noticed that almost everyone at your table is a doctor or a lawyer. I said, no, they're all doctors with only one lawyer. I said, I only invited one lawyer, all the rest are doctors. She laughed at it. I said, I invited my lawyer, Dan Horowitz, and I introduced him to all the doctors, saying, if ever you need a lawyer, he's the only one to use. So here's the point of the story. During the course of the very busy, crowded evening, one man after another came up to me and whispered, "Oh, I've listened to you for so many years. I really enjoy your show. I agree with every word you say." These were conservative men who were hiding their conservatism in this communist county, faking it, making believe that they go along with the program of lies and the cheaters. And I kept saying, why do they have to hide their politics? These are powerful men. They're wealthy men, I said to myself. What are they hiding their politics for? What? From who? Who are they hiding it from? And it brought me to a bigger question. Why are you afraid to discuss your politics? Why? What are you afraid of? Who is going to criticize you that you can't stand up to? Do you understand that we have all the power in this country? You, the listener. That if every one of you said enough is enough, I'm not taking this garbage anymore. I'm going to say it like it is, just like Savage does. He puts himself out there every day. I'm going to do it. I don't care who doesn't talk to me anymore. They have to understand what this administration is doing in this country and what they're trying to do. The corruption has reached. It stinks. It's like an outhouse. They've turned it into an outhouse. The corruption is a mile high. It's 5,000 feet in the air, the corruption. Any other president would have been impeached by now. One scandal after another, and the Teflon Don can't be touched. They can't touch the Teflon Don. He does the song, and they buy the act. Speaking of songs, Jerry Vail died. You may know Jerry Vail. You may not know him. White-haired guy, sang in many movies. You've probably seen him in Casino, entertaining the people at the... No, was it Casino? No, it was in Goodfellas, where they go to the Copa, and Jerry Vail is singing. That incredible voice of his. He was a friend of Frank Sinatra. Let's play a Jerry Vail song for those of you out there who are over the age of 103. You know, you compare a man like him. Listen to his voice compared to the rap stars. Listen. Rap stars have a voice like this. Well, that's racist of me to say that? A guy rubbing his crotch and talking about raping people, that's the same song to you? All right, whatever. They're different strokes for different folks, I guess. Whatever floats your boat, as they used to say in the 1910 era. That was a long time ago, 1910 era. So here we are. Look at the day we have today. This a nightmare to wake up to this. I didn't want to play these speeches, but I couldn't believe what I was listening to. They're causing the conflict. You see, when you spend every moment of every single day looking for negative qualities in the people around you, you are going to find negative qualities in the people around you, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's your wife, whether it's your husband, whether it's your daughter, whether it's your son, whether it's your father, whether it's your mother, whether it's your banker, or whether it's your whatever. If you constantly search for something bad, you're going to find it. And that's what the Obamas do. They don't look for the goodness in their fellow man. They look for the evil in the white man. Everything that comes out of them is racially oriented. There's almost not a speech that's off the cuff that's not aimed at stoking racial enmity in this country. Why is that? In other words, if it's not their intent, which I think it is, then let's look at it from a psychological point of view. Why would Michelle Obama give a speech to a largely African-American student body about chains coming here and chains, Brown versus Board, 1954? What is she saying to them? She looks at the world through the eyes of a resentful human being. She resents this country. In her heart of hearts, if you could put a tape in that White House, like you did with Mr. Sperling, whatever his name was, I don't remember his name. If you had a secret tape recording of Michelle Obama talking quietly, talking to anyone when no one's listening, tell me if you would hear somebody talking highly about her fellow man. I don't think so. I think you'd hear far worse than what you heard from that baseball owner. By what I hear her saying publicly, I would say that you'd be shocked probably if you could hear what Al Sharpton says in private. That's a guess. And they're entitled to their opinion. They're entitled to be racist if they want. There's no law against it, by the way. But when they're public figures and that's all they do, you have to ask yourself, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? Why are they trying to stir up such racial enmity and hatred in the country? We always knew that the Democrats were the party of sort of economic warfare, class warfare, race warfare. And they're at it now at a way I never thought I'd see in my life. Never. And they're getting away with it. But joining the chorus is none other than one of the wealthiest Europeans in the country, European-American Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, of all people, should not do this. She has grandchildren. Does she want people to disrupt her life at her house on Pacific Heights? I would hope not. I don't think she wants a mob outside, screaming outside her windows. Now, why is she telling these idiots at Berkeley to go out and be disruptors? You know that she hates disruptors who say one word to her about her. She wants you to disrupt too. Who exactly does Mrs. Pelosi want to disrupt what? What does she mean, be a disruptor? I want you to play this again, Neil. Play Nancy Pelosi at my alma mater. Why they invited this nut bar, this hairball. She's like a human hairball. Why would they invite this babbling fool to speak at my alma mater? I'll never understand. Listen to this.
Our founders were successful disruptors of the then status quo. Being called a disruptor, in my view, is a very high compliment. You here at Berkeley are already disruptors.
You know, don't disgrace Berkeley. It's a disgrace making Berkeley about that moron Mario Savio, who in my day would have been a garbage man. If that, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Okay, so I played you speeches by the gang that can shoot very straight indeed. Pelosi, Obama, Michelle Obama, Eric Holder, Timothy Geithner, John Kerry, all on the same message. Hillary Clinton, same message. Go out, stir things up. Brown versus Board of Education, came here in chains, racist society. I ask you, why are you not speaking up? There are more of you than there are them. We are the majority. We. When I say we, who am I talking to? Who do I mean by we? Those of us who love America. Those of us who don't want a civil war. Those of us who are fed up with the Obama Liberation Army. The Obama Liberation Army has got to be stopped. The OLA must be stopped in its tracks. We have to take the treads off the Obama Liberation Army tanks before they roll over all of us. Why are you afraid to discuss your politics? And I address this to anyone listening to the show. Rich man, poor man, white man, black man. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your sexual thing is. I don't give a damn. Hey, hey, ho, ho, we better all stand up or we're all going to go. I am telling you, these are very dangerous people. I didn't want to do it today, but there's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to talk about. This stirring up the masses against society by the president himself and his minions is very worrisome. So I'll ask you for the next hour to give me an example of why you personally, mister, are afraid to discuss your politics. What are you afraid? They'll fire you at work? They'll fire you at work for bringing an American flag? Yes. It's reached such a point that firemen in New York are afraid to show an American flag on their trucks. Why don't you just put the communist Chinese flag on your truck? Then maybe you'll get a gold star on your record. A cop can't wear a flag on his jacket anymore? Because of who? Who doesn't like the American flag? Which left-wing lunatic, coward, deviant doesn't like the American flag? And you stand there and take it from them? How many of them are there?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another wonderful day, according to Michael Savage. You know, you figure Monday people are going to want to just go into the week a little easier or take it easy. I admit that I drank too much last night. I mean, I went to that big dinner Saturday night. I drank nothing. I had Diet Coke. I still got a headache. It just shows you. I drank a Diet Coke. I went home with 10 of this and a headache from not drinking. So last night, I don't know what I did last. I called a friend of mine. He's a Russian artist. He's the one who painted the picture of my dog, Teddy, the gray picture. He's really a fabulous. Trained in Moscow. He's a real artist as opposed to the schmear jobs we get here, you know. So he's a real artist. He's also an expert martial artist, which is interesting in the sense of what I'm about to tell you. So I called him up. I was bored. Went down to see him in Sausalito. We walked in the air with the dog. And then I invited him to dinner. I said, let's get some drinks. It was time for a drink. It was 6 o'clock on a Sunday night. The whole evening was stretching out in front of me. Monday was a hard work day. I said, let me buy you a drink. Unfortunately, I didn't want to go anywhere in Sausalito. So I said, tell you what, I'll take you up to my friend's Basque restaurant. Let's have dinner at the same time. So we shoot up there. And I ordered a couple too many of, vodka martinis with no vermouth. In other words, all vodka. Shake it up pretty good, but it's all vodka. It's the way to get more vodka. No, whatever. And I'll tell you, as Jackie Gleason said, I was feeling no pain. So I said to him, I said, Dimitri, I said, let me tell you something. Last week I was scheduled for an MRI on Saturday morning from a pain I've had in the back of my, like where the trapezius meets the neck. And it's radiating down my spine into my legs. And a doctor friend said, you have to get an MRI and maybe neck surgery. I said, so as Saturday approached, each day the pains diminished. The closer I got to the MRI, the less the pain's intensity was. By Saturday morning, I had no pain, so I canceled the MRI. Now, it's almost Mark Twain-esque in its joke, but that's absolutely what happened. Now, it's not just that it diminished on its own. I've been taking quercetin. I've been doing stretching exercises. I have certain things for my legs and for my head while I watch TV. You know, in other words, I used natural remedies, and I cured myself without an MRI, with the clicking. I didn't want the claustrophobia. I didn't want the casket claustrophobia job. I had it once and ran out of it 3 years ago. Anyway, so I told him what was wrong. You know what he said to me? He said, when you get home, put vodka on rag and put on neck. I said, what do you mean? He said, absorb through skin. I swear to God, I got home, I put vodka on rag and put on neck. The pain went away. I had no pain. I said, for God's sakes, he's right. Alcohol is absorbed very rapidly through the skin, and it releases the inflammation. No medicine required. Age-old remedy. He knows what body bruises are from his martial arts training. And it worked. So I made the mistake this morning of having my assistant get me rubbing alcohol instead. It didn't work. I don't understand. Denatured alcohol doesn't work, so I sent him out for a bottle of vodka to put on my neck. It worked. I don't understand why denatured rubbing alcohol wouldn't do the same thing as expensive vodka, but it bothers me. Because you can drink one but not the other, but apparently you can't get the same thing with the rubbing. Now you got the personal story, but I can't do that today. Instead, I wake up to horrendous racially motivated speeches by Michelle Obama, Timothy Geithner, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, and others. They're all in the same message, trying to stir up the masses to cause a revolution in the country. And I ask myself, why would Michelle Obama go to a largely African-American student body in a high school in Topeka, Kansas, and talk about coming here in chains, her ancestors, or the Brown versus Board of Education again, day in and day out? We have another one. You're not going to believe this one. Listen to clip number 2 from the First Lady.
We know that today in America, too many folks are still stopped on the street because of the color of their skin.
Listen to this.
Or they're made to feel unwelcome because of where they come from, or they're bullied because of who they love.
It's a party of gays, immigrants, and I guess African Americans. So she's telling white people, we don't need your vote. Telling you, don't vote for me unless you're a brainwashed moron who wants to be marginalized by society, because that's what we're trying to do. Now, if you're that stupid because you've been brainwashed, I can't help you. Now, I want to go back to, why is Michelle going to a high school in Topeka, Kansas, to talk about Brown versus Board of Education from 1954. Why Topeka? And why high school students? Why would she not speak at a college? Well, for one, someone in the college audience might actually boo her. That's number one. High school students are stupid. They, by and large, don't know anything. But there's another reason, and it's more sinister, and it frightens me. Do you know who the Khmer Rouge were? You remember the old days of the late 60s and early 70s, if you're old enough to remember? What was going on in Cambodia? Cambodia was a relatively peaceful nation until a college professor, I think a history professor, Mr. Pol Pot, came to power, But Pol Pot had gone to Paris and studied Marxism, and he came back a totally different Cambodian. He came back a communist revolutionary. And what he did was he stirred up the youth of Cambodia, the uneducated dolts, the children of the uneducated, and he deputized them. He gave them basically red scarves, red Khmers. It's the French pronunciation of something else. The Red Khmer Rouge was the name given to the followers of the Communist Party of Kampuchea in Cambodia. And it was formed in 1968 as an offshoot of the Vietnam People's Army from North Vietnam. Well, what am I telling you this for? Because they committed genocide against their own people. These 12, these 13, 14, 15-year-old morons who were deputized by Pol Pot and told that their fellow citizens of the same race, remember, the same race no less, but of a different economic class, were bad people. They were told that anyone with eyeglasses, whether they be teachers, professors, lawyers, engineers, accountants, anyone who had eyeglasses was a counter-revolutionary, and they committed genocide against fellow Cambodians as a result of their enforcement of their social engineering policies. Their attempts at agricultural reform led to widespread famine, as it did in the Soviet Union, as it will do in this nation if these morons in the agricultural department are allowed to take over how to run a farm. They've taken over the medical world. What are they doing to the world of medicine? It's going to lead to widespread famine of medical care. When this Obamacare goes through, it will lead to widespread medical famine. People will be put on death panels, and they will not get care. The Khmer Rouge insisted on absolute self-sufficiency, even in the supply of medicine. What did that lead to? The death of thousands in Cambodia from treatable diseases such as malaria. The Khmer Rouge, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, conducted arbitrary executions and torture against subversive elements in their mind or during purges of their own ranks. They killed their own friends between 75 and 78. Great genocide was committed in Cambodia under Pol Pot. The mild-mannered history teacher who went to Paris and studied Marxism. Fast forward to America. We have a naive, brainwashed man, an unknown senator who rarely appeared in the Senate, who was brainwashed very young to hate the society as at large, a man who was brainwashed to come before the people and hoodwink the people, selling them equality and fairness by giving them one speech after another about inequality and unfairness, and while doing so continued to marginalize only one segment of the population, one and only one. They call them the rich, or they call them this, or they call them that. But every speech tells you who they're really targeting. And it's very worrisome, and that's why I have to play for these speeches for you. You don't want to hear it? I understand. You want me to talk about meatballs and spaghetti? You want me to be funny, Mike? Hey, Mike, be funny. Mike, come on, Mike. Lighten up, Mike. Mike, Mike. Hey, Mike, be funny. Be a funny guy, Mike. Come on, Mike. Make me laugh. You know, you really entertain me, Mike. Your show is all about entertainment, Mike. It's all about entertainment, Mike. Give me a meatball. Hey, tell me about Teddy, Mike. Tell me a funny story, Mike. What if I don't feel like telling you a funny story? What if I'd rather tell you about Cambodian genocide conducted by 15-year-old morons who were deputized by a mild-mannered professor who became leader of the Khmer Rouge and prime minister of Kampuchea in 1978? What if I tell you I'm concerned that our mild-mannered constitutional Professor Barack Obama, in my opinion, is like Pol Pot? Oh, I don't mean there's death camps, and I don't mean that he's going to do that to us. Oh, no, I don't mean that at all. Let's modify everything I just said. Oh, I'm not concerned about the coming civil war. I'm not concerned about every word out of his mouth, her mouth, their mouth. Every word out of their mouth is an attempt to stir up the uneducated dolts in this society to riot and to revolt against whom? Just exactly whom? Who does Nancy Pelosi mean when she says go out and be a disruptor? Did you hear her? She comes in and pollutes my alma mater with her insanity and her hateful rhetoric, and again marginalizes the greatness of the University of California at Berkeley by referring back to a marginal loser from the 1960s who nobody remembers. Who wrote that speech for that lame brain Nancy Pelosi? She tells them to go out and be disruptors. Does she mean they should go to Pacific Heights and disrupt her personal life? I hope not. Whose life should they disrupt, Nancy Pelosi? Just whose life do you mean? Why don't you give out a map, a Google map of whose houses you want your masses of Occupy Movement communists to go bother, Nancy, so we'll know exactly what you're talking about. You certainly don't want them outside Broadway on Pacific Heights. You don't want them outside the Getty's house. You don't want them outside the Pelosi house. You got Secret Service out there. You need it, right? Because you're a senator. But what about those of us who don't have Secret Service? Who are you telling them to disrupt, Nancy Pelosi? And why would a person of this power do such a thing? Why would Michelle Obama, one of the most, well, the most powerful woman in the world, certainly more powerful than Hillary Clinton, more powerful than a speeding bullet, a woman who has at her disposal whole armies, they can level a nation and get away with it. They can flood America with non-citizens and tell you that they have more rights than you do. And they can tell you you're a racist if you object to it. The most powerful woman in the world goes back and talks about her ancestors coming here in chains. Tells us that Brown versus Board of Education happened to her just yesterday. What are they trying to do? I asked you that in the last hour. And then I ask you, why are you afraid to express your politics? I had one man after another come up to me at that dinner Saturday night. We all looked swell. We all wore tuxedos. Some of us could even tie our ties. I couldn't. Mine is pre-tied. I never could tie a bow tie. Never. Mine clipped right on. Nice people. And I met new people that I didn't even know were conservatives in my county. I had no idea there were so many conservatives who loved my show. One after the other, they came up to me like I was Mahatma Gandhi. And they said, we really believe in you. But, of course, they wouldn't say that at home. Who do they talk to if they're so conservative? And who are they afraid of? These are not weaklings. These are not cowards. Who are these men that they're afraid of? Who are they afraid of offending? The girl who serves them coffee with a pimply face at Starbucks? Some brainwashed lunatic with green hair? Who are they afraid of? The corrupt county supervisors? Who are they afraid of? The throwback newscasters in the TV business? Who are they afraid of? I don't even know. Why don't they just stand up and be counted before it's too late, I ask myself. I mean, I didn't just say that to them. I mean, I was very congenial. I'm capable of being a nice guy when I want to be. One guy comes up to me, and we joked, and he asked me, he said, Michael, could you explain to me something? He said, why are so many Jewish people liberals? Why do they not support Israel? Why don't they understand Obama stabbing Israel in the back? He was not a Jewish guy. He told me he's Italian from Philadelphia originally. I said, I can't answer it. He kept pressing the question over and over again. He truly wanted to know. I said, many of them identify with the immigrants of today because they haven't gotten over the trauma, I guess. I don't have an answer for you. And I said, at the end of the day, John, there's only one answer. Whenever you can't come up with the right answer, this you can plug into your question. Liberalism is a mental disorder. He looked at me, very famous doctor. He said, maybe that's the answer. He said, are you saying they're all mentally disordered? I said, I think so. I think that there's a flaw in the crystal that has a people so successful in the arts, sciences, law, business, and yet when it comes to their own survival, they're the walking dead. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Look, maybe I can't do this all in 2 hours or 3 hours. Over the weekend, they all did it, again, stirring up the masses against the rich, when they are, all of those who spoke, are the very, very powerful and rich. Listen to clip 16. Here's Hillary Clinton, who would be president, again, attacking the earners. Listen
Economists carefully. Have documented how the share of income and wealth going to those at the very top, not just the top 1%, but the top 0.1% or the 0.01% of the population has risen sharply over the last generation. Some are calling it a throwback to the Gilded Age of the robber barons.
Tell us about the $100 million raised by the Clinton Foundation. Tell us about your friend Ron Burkle. Tell us about all of your 0001%ers who you hang around with. I haven't seen you hanging in the hood, Mrs. Clinton. Now, why would Hillary Clinton talk about an income inequality again? Again, I'm going to go back to the Khmer Rouge. I'm trying to warn you about something. These Khmer Rouge were communists in the beginning. They talked about fairness. They subjected Cambodia to a radical social reform process. And they said they just wanted an agrarian-based communist society. They attacked capitalists in particular. Listen carefully. The Khmer Rouge, which wound up killing 2 million of their own countrymen, wanted to eliminate anyone suspected of, quote, involvement in free market activities. Does that differ from the speeches that you hear on a regular basis on MSNBC? Suspected capitalists, suspected capitalists in Cambodia included professionals and almost everyone with an education. They were considered the enemy of the communist revolution. The Khmer Rouge believed that parents were tainted with capitalism, so they separated children from their parents. They indoctrinated the children in communism. And listen to this. They taught them how to torture animals. They taught them how to torture animals, the children. They said the children were, quote, a dictatorial instrument of the party, close quote, and the children were given leadership in torture and executions. And they had a motto, the Cambodian Khmer Rouge, the young 13, 14-year-old morons with the red scarves who killed 2 million. And their motto was, against urban civilians, quote, to keep you is no benefit, to destroy you is no loss. It started as a communist party talking about fairness. And then the leader, Pol Pot, came back to Cambodia from France, where he had joined the French Communist Party. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, it's the Savage Nation. You know, I've given you a little history of the Khmer Rouge, the Red Scarves, because it really scares me. When I see uneducated adults being encouraged to act as though they've been victimized by the most powerful people on the planet, I ask myself, what do these powerful people want these moronic idiots eventually to do? I know they want them to be part of their army. Really, what kind of army do you want? You want the Khmer Rouge with Red Scarves arresting people with glasses? No, these are nice people. They only want fairness. Watch out, because there's a saying, those who reap the wind often get the whirlwind. And they get caught up in their own whirlwind. That's what happened during the French Revolution. Once the guillotine started to fall, it got very thirsty for blood. And when it got through taking the heads off the, quote, rich, they started taking the heads off anyone amongst the revolutionaries who was not revolutionary enough. Because that guillotine was thirsty for the red liquid. And then when they got through taking down the heads of the counter-revolutionaries amongst the radicals in France, the guillotine was still demanding its drink. It still wanted blood, and it went after itself. And that's what happens when you start this bloodthirsty madness, and it starts with rhetoric. Never forget what I'm telling you. Everything begins with words. The Holocaust began with words against the Jews. They didn't start by putting them in a gas chamber and killing them. It started, actually, in France, long before Germany was espousing anti-Semitism. There were anti-Semites in France espousing anti-Jewish rhetoric. Hitler only picked it up in Mein Kampf. And then it started to spread like a wildfire amongst the Germans. Then it started with separating Jews from the Germans with... You Jews can't swim in the same swimming pool as Germans. Only Aryans allowed. The Jews said, who needs it? Who wants to swim with them anyway? They didn't understand what was coming. It started with boycotts of Jewish stores. Just a Jewish star was painted on the window. The same way your nice daughter, let us say at Harvard, paints a Jewish star on companies that do business with Israel. They're painting Jewish stars on businesses that do business with Israel. It's exactly what happened in Germany in the 30s. Only you say it can't be that because my daughter's a nice girl. I raised her myself. She's a nice girl. She grew up in a white suburb. She would never do anything to harm anybody. She just wants fairness for the Palestinians. See, is that what you think? Is that how it works? That's how it works with Michelle Obama, one of the most powerful women on earth, who has everything imaginable. No queen on earth could have more than she does. And yet she talks about her ancestors coming here in slaves. You've got to play the Michelle Obama again, Neil. You've got to hit that Michelle Obama clip because nobody could believe she would do this over the weekend at a high school. Listen to this one.
Because the fact is that your experience here in Topeka would have been unimaginable back in 1954.
Again.
When Brown versus Board of Education first went to the Supreme Court, this would not be possible.
Who wrote this for her?
As you all know, back then, Topeka, like so many cities, was segregated. So black folks and white folks had separate restaurants, separate hotels, separate movie theaters, swimming pools, and, of course, the elementary schools were segregated, too.
Now, what is the point of her telling that to kids who don't face that today? Tell me why. What is she trying to tell them? To be angry, resentful, hostile, victimized? What is she trying to do with them? You know, I haven't taken, I don't think, one call today, Neil. Have I taken a single call? 1 hour. I took one call in the last hour. What is this government trying to do? As a side note, more than 1,000 dogs have died as a result of eating toxic treats imported from China. When you see a stranger, and they don't even mean to do it. Deadly dog treats coming from China. You know those little duck legs that are dried? They're killing pets. I went to a pet store here not too long ago, and they sold me a duck jerky leg. I never buy that garbage. If a stranger says, oh, can I give your dog a cookie? No. No, he's on a diet. And even nice people, I know, want to give him a treat. No, he's on a special diet. I won't let him eat anything but what I feed him. Ever. And sure enough, I gave that dog, my dog, a duck leg. They sell a thing called Petzl. He was just fired from the VA. But there's actually a substance called that, made from a bull's you-know-what, by the same name in English. And I wonder if they're toxic. Because Teddy ate the duck equivalent of the Petzl, and he started to cough for 2 weeks. He was coughing. Lucky I didn't lose the dog. I won't eat seafood from China. I go to a restaurant, I demand to know where the fish is from. I won't eat shrimp anymore. I don't eat shellfish anymore. I won't touch it if it's from China. Nothing. Poison. Poison! Drywall with a fin. It's like eating drywall with fins. Seafood from China. You have no idea what this NAFTA, GAF, WTO. We warned you all through the 90s. You laughed at us, right-wingers. We were 1,000% right. We warned you about Mexico. We warned you what this would do. You laughed at us. Well, we're warning you what this administration's going to do to you, and you can keep laughing all you want. Just make sure it's your house that's fireproof. Make sure it's your house that's bulletproof. Because let me tell you something. When it begins in this country, no one's going to know you're a good liberal. They won't know to bypass your house. They won't know you're one of them, that you worked so hard for one of them your whole life. How are you going to identify yourself? You're going to come out and scream, I'm a good liberal. I support you. You'll be devoured by the whirlwind. And you have an administration stirring up the whirlwind right now. That's all they want. Burn, baby, burn. Not earn, baby, earn. See, now, Michelle could have gone and given a speech about earn, baby, earn, about the beauties of a free market society, the beauties of capitalism. She didn't say earn, baby, earn. She talked about burn, baby, burn. That's what her subtext was. You're a victim. This is a bad society. They owe you, whether you're a minority or an immigrant or gay. It's an evil society, she said. And it's only people like us who save you from the evil society. And that's the First Lady of the United States. It's a pretty serious issue. I know we got the VA scandal, and we got many other scandals. And of all things, Holder brings a cyber espionage case against Chinese officials who have never set foot in the U.S. What in the heck is, what is he doing? They release criminal aliens from prisons who committed murder, rape, robbery. They released them in the streets. Why would the administration release murderers, illegal aliens, into the street? Why would the Justice Department bring in a spying case against Chinese officials? What is he doing here? Are these people that lunatic? Let's go to the top of the Drudge Report and look at the headlines, because he really makes the news. See, by deciding what goes where, by scrambling the actual news, he makes the news, even though he doesn't write it. Headline. GOP takes on Michelle O's lunch rules. They're not working. Showdown. China ships evacuate almost 2,000 Chinese from Vietnam. Chinese troops are massing near the border of Vietnam. Did you know that that's also happening now? China's about to go to war with Vietnam. Now, you ask yourself, you've got the Cold War brewing. You've got the Arab nations burning. You've got China versus Vietnam. You got China versus North Korea. Why? Why is there so much instability on the world stage? Answer, because America is now a vacuum. Because we have such a weak, ineffectual leader who has spent all of his capital attacking his domestic opponents and kowtowing, catering to his international antagonists, or shall I say those who used to antagonize America. I wrote it in Trickle Down Tyranny. I said to you, he treats our friends like enemies, witness Israel, and our enemies like friends. The man bows to the kings. He bows. He's humble to all of the world. And he's very arrogant to all of the Americans. Why? Why? Well, look what's going on in the world. The worst president in American history is what you're living through. I don't want to hear the Obama bashing. Even if we know it's bad, what do you want from us? Get off it, Savage. Let it go already. Give it up. Move on. Tell us a meatball story. I just told you a meatball story. I told you about poison jerky treats from China. What more do you want? I gave you a joke already about Mr. Petzl being fired. What else do you want me to do for today? That's all I can do for you today. That's all. Can anyone explain, by the way, why vodka on a rag works on a muscle spasm, but rubbing alcohol didn't? I mean, I have a background where I should know the difference between denatured alcohol and alcohol, but C2HO5 is C2HO5, but what's the difference between rubbing alcohol and methyl and ethyl alcohol? Are you telling me that one methyl group makes the difference between whether or not my muscles unlock? Well, they're not so stupid. They like expensive vodka on them. They don't like cheap Long's drugstore alcohol. I guess my muscles are as smart as my tongue. Because I certainly wouldn't drink methyl alcohol unless I want to die. So why would my muscle want to feel methyl alcohol? So I guess it's one ethyl group makes a difference. Those of you who have basic chemistry just got the joke. We used to have chemistry teachers who could tell a joke about a methyl group. Nobody even knows what methyl or ethyl alcohol is. Instead, they know, I don't want to get vulgar. Okay, just think of it as, no, I can't go there. It's not a stage show. It's a radio show. It's different than a stage show. It's a radio show, not a stage show. Doing very well, thank you. Smashing Hannity into dust in every market where I compete with him. Despite what you may read from his front groups, despite what they lie, every market in the major cities, New York, Dallas, San Francisco, Chicago, look at the numbers. They're on michaelsavage.com. Numbers don't lie. Just liars do, especially liars who work for Hannity are now spreading lies across the Internet. Don't believe a word they say. Look at the actual data on my website. On top of Drudge, immigration countdown. Boehner's going to sell you down the river. He's getting ready to do it. The left scrambles to defend release of criminal illegals. The authorities are overwhelmed as dreamers surge into Texas. There are so many so-called dreamers, which are illegal aliens under the age of 14 or 15, coming across the border, that they're housing them on an Air Force base. Meanwhile, the wonderful congressman, who you may not as know his name, a GOP congressman, Jeff Denham, is pushing for an immigration vote. He wants illegals here in the military. At the same time, Dick Durbin is demanding the same thing. Gutierrez says every institution in America should work around immigration laws. If I were the FBI director, I would arrest Gutierrez immediately. If a congressman gets up and says every institution in America should work around immigration laws, I'd arrest them. There's a law. You could find a law for sedition. How could a congressman say every institution in America should work around immigration laws without being arrested? Because there's no opposition party. The GOP is just a party of greed. It stands for nothing. GOP, grand old party? GOP, can anyone tell me what the GOP stands for other than opposing the Democrat gang? Two gangs, Democrat gang, Republican gang. Gang of two. People don't count. Father told me that when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. Immigrant father never went to past high school. I asked him how the country works. He says, basically, son, here's how it works. There are two gangs. One calls themselves Republican, one calls himself Democrat. And they fight with each other over stealing a taxpayer's income. And I said, well, wait a minute, how does that work? He says, well, when one's in power, the other points out the corruption of the other. That more or less keeps everything in balance. I said, okay. Well, it worked like that for most years until this one came along. Till this administration came along and the Teflon Don became president. It used to work like that because there was an opposition party which would point out the fake solar projects around San Francisco and the billions of dollars stolen on fake solar companies, producing not a megawatt of power. still getting $1.2 billion here, $900 million there, precious metals under the sagebrush in Harry Reid's in the desert. The other party would normally do that, but now there is no other party. So corruption now reigns beyond any level we've ever seen in the modern times. There was probably corruption under Harding that exceeded this. I mean, you think of the Teapot Dome scandal. What Obama has unleashed in this country makes the Teapot Dome scandal, which I learned in high school as the greatest scandal of its time, baby talk. You look at the solar dome scandals here in the San Francisco area, the Teapot Dome scandal is nothing compared with it. And it will take 30 years, if we survive this gang, for the historians to catch up with the scandals and the corruption. And this is just a blue Monday, and I'm a little under the weather. I got to tell you, what with all that rubbing alcohol on my neck, I'm not thinking clearly. But I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You all take the diversity you're surrounded by for granted. You probably don't even notice it. And that's understandable given the country you have grown up in. With a woman governor, a Latina Supreme Court justice, a black president.
Can you believe this? Can you believe this woman is constantly doing the race thing? Cal on KSFO, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please.
I was not exactly glad, but it reminded me when I heard you play that she could be, we could all be further reminded that every state that had segregation during the time of which she was speaking was in complete Democratic Party control. Congresspeople were from the Democratic Party, senators, governors, mayors. Bo Connor was a Democrat.
But Cal, how in the world does she get away with this? How does she get away with this?
Well, she gets away with it because we are not reminded of the history that it was like that because...
Well, Cal, I thank you for calling. I have only 59 seconds left, and I must tell you that the time has flown because when the strength is this weak, and the week is this strength... I'm just stunned. I'm not speechless. If I'd be speechless, I wouldn't be in the radio business. I'm never speechless. When I was in the emergency room, they couldn't stop me from talking. I said, I'm going to go back and be on the air tomorrow. They said, they can't. You can't. You need weeks to recover from this fall. I said, no. They said, no, you can't. I said, yes, I'll be on the air tomorrow. They said, you can't. I said, I can, and I did. No one even knew I was in the ER room. You didn't know it 3 weeks ago because the work is too important. Well, maybe it's the rubbing alcohol. I don't know what it is. But I'll tell you this, I told my assistant, get me the regular stuff for my tongue that I drink, and get me the Safeway vodka for my neck. It's the Savage Nation, another big hour across America, be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Disruptors of the then status quo. Being called a disruptor, in my view, is a very high compliment. You here in Berkeley are already disruptors in many ways.
Oh, shut up.
In 1960...
I earned my PhD from there, Pelosi, and I'm not a disruptor. I'm a big contributor to society. Shame on you, Nancy Pelosi, for disgracing the University of California with your ignorance and stupidity, pandering to the small group of morons who cheer at a thing like that you're a disruptor simply for going to UC Berkeley. Those days have been over for 40 years. See, here's the thing about Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi. They don't understand that they're like stuck in amber. It's as though they've fallen into an amber pit. They're like saber-toothed tigers. They're very dangerous saber-toothed tigers. They're stuck in the 1960s. They still think that the society is as backwards as it was then. Just when the Khmer Rouge was coming up, I guess they were coming up. Just before the 14-year-olds put on the red scarves and killed 2 million of their own kind in Cambodia because they studied Marxism under Pol Pot. These two are now trying to stir up the masses in the most dangerous way, but maybe they're such ignoramuses they don't even know what they're doing. Maybe they're such stupid people they don't even understand what a firestorm they're trying to erupt in the United States of America. One speech after the other today that I played for you should alarm you to your DNA. Your DNA strand should be vibrating today from what I played for you. Your double helix should be quivering from what I played for you today. Your double helix should be vibrating today from what Michelle Obama said over the weekend at a commencement exercise. Your double helix should be rattling and rolling from what was said over the weekend by Hillary Clinton at a college, Obama at a college, Mrs. Obama. Nancy Pelosi talking about being a disruptor. Even little Timmy Geithner had to get in on the act. A spoiled little rich boy from the five towns in New York gets up there and has the nerve to talk about race and skin color being a determinant of success in America. Can you imagine? Even little Timmy Geithner, the little marionette. Neil, play little Timmy Geithner. He got in on the act, too, over the
We weekend. Have tremendously high numbers of people living in poverty. We've had a long period where the median income has not grown. Big rise in inequality. And to an extent, it should not be acceptable to Americans. You know, how well you do in life today, how good your education is, how good your health care is, depends too much on the color of your skin or how rich your parents is. And that's something that should worry all Americans.
You know, Geithner, I knew you were an incompetent, impotent character by your behavior when you were working for the administration. But to hear you put out this lie, the big lie, don't you have children, Geithner? Didn't you come from parents? Were you born in a test tube? Don't you have elderly parents you worried about, Tim, by unleashing the masses on them? Don't you understand that words have effects on people, Timmy? Timmy, don't you understand that when you unleash the wind, sometimes the whirlwind will engulf you and everyone around you? Look what happened in Cambodia, Timmy. You probably know about the mountain of skulls that was left behind after that nice college professor, Pol Pot, went to France to study, I don't know what he went to study, probably cheese making. But while he was in France, Pol Pot, the history professor, joined the French Communist Party, studied Marxism, came back, instituted Marxism in Cambodia, unleashed the 14 and 15-year-old uneducated adults upon the educated population. As a result, 2 million people were tortured to death and killed. You don't understand the parallel? Well, those who don't know their history, Timmy boy, are condemned to repeat it, old Timmy boy. Well, that's the beginning of hour number three. It's what we've been talking about, and I've asked you to call the show, and boy, have you called the show. And I think I should take a few calls. Let's go to Sharon in Savannah, Georgia. Sharon, welcome to the Savage Nation. What got your goat today?
Well, Michelle Obama with her speech. Nobody ever notices that they're prejudiced. Obama and her, when they always say something in their speeches that are prejudiced against whites, and I just don't understand why nobody ever says anything. I guess it's because they're the president and the first lady.
No, it's because they're not white. So they're above criticism.
Exactly. You're right. And I just
It's that simple. You understand how it works. Look, for example, Joe Biden's son, we reported last week on this show on Tuesday, a story that in another time would have led to congressional hearings and a demand for an arrest. Joe Biden's son took a job on the board of directors of a natural gas company in Ukraine at a time when war is about to break out in Ukraine. Now, what if Jenna Bush, or one of the other Bush daughters, there were two, I believe, during the Iraq war, had taken a job with the Iraq oil company? What do you think the Old York Times and the other minions of the left would have said if a Bush daughter had gone to work for an Iraqi oil? Well, let's say Halliburton. Let's say they went to work for Halliburton. It wouldn't have even been as bad. But what would they have said? Jenna Bush takes job with Halliburton during Iraq war. They would have been screaming. Pinchy Sulzberger would have been running the press overtime around the clock. Around the clock, banner headline, nepotism, favoritism, corruption. But when Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, takes a job with a Ukraine natural gas company, and it goes by like nothing happened, do you know why? People are exhausted. They're burned out. That's where they're paying attention to dolts, morons. Morons who Twitter have a bigger following than newspapers do. A moron actress who has never achieved anything except showing her naked buttocks has achieved a larger following on Twitter than does an average news station. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what's happened to this nation, that the infants are leading the nursery? That's a changeover from the insane or leading the asylum. I figured I'd wake you up with that one. It's as though you go into a nursery and the teachers are afraid of the infants. And the infants are now running their own nursery. They're cutting themselves. They're breaking milk bottles on the floor. They don't know what they're doing, but they're leading the nursery. And the nurses are standing on the side. The adults are afraid to say a word. That's what's going on in Obama's America. The Twitter universe is alive and well with one moron after another twittering and twattering and twiddling and twiddling and twiddly-dee and twiddly-do. I don't Twitter. I have a Twitter account. I never go on it. Once in a while, I send something out, an article or whatever. Who has the time to sit and say what I thought, what I felt? What's wrong with people that they pay attention to this? I don't know. Don't have an answer. And meanwhile, the country's being flooded with hatred from the left, flooded by Obama and his hatred, flooded by the entire cartel of hatred coming from the left. And that's that. What else is in the news? Yes, Christie gave a speech. We must lead the world. Tubby Checkers is going to lead the world. Tubby Checkers now is back. He's been How did Tubby Checkers suddenly become a leader again? How did Tubby Checkers, Chris Christie, suddenly become a leader all over again? Courting powerful, there we go again. I'm sorry, I have to read this. I'm going to be embarrassed, but I have to read it. Okay, courting powerful Jewish donors for the second time in 2 months, New Jersey Governor Tubby Checkers, Chris Christie, called Sunday for a more aggressive foreign policy that defends American oh, please, again the Jews? Keynote address of the champions of Jewish How come no Jewish group ever invited me to speak? Why Chris Christie? He's not even Jewish. Why would they want Tubby Checkers to speak? I don't get that. Why Tubby Checkers? I don't get that one. At a Las Vegas gathering of the Republican Jewish Coalition in late March, Adelson, another one, another prize, met with Tubby Checkers Christie and other Republican contenders from Florida Governor Tub Bush, Ohio Governor John Kasich, and Wisconsin's Governor Scott Walker. At the time, Christie, a Catholic, said he was overwhelmed by displays of religious tolerance during a recent trip to Jerusalem. All right, right, I get the picture. Got it. Okay, great. So now Tubby Checkers is invited to a Jewish group to talk about world leadership. Ooh, I'd rather talk about tires, the right tire for your car, than talk about Tubby Checkers. If you wanted to ask me what I'd rather talk about right now, I'd rather talk about the proper tire for a sports car than talk about Tubby Checkers politics. Or are you going to think I'm going to talk about Benghazi? I told you I'd rather talk about a liniment. I'd rather talk about Ben Gay than Benghazi. 855-400-7282. The world is falling apart. Do you know the Chinese troops are on the border with Vietnam? Do you know that they've removed 2,000 Chinese civilians from Vietnam? Do you understand what's going on in the world because of the vacuum created as a result of Obama's weakness and supporting insurgencies around the world? You don't see the link between Obama's insane, weak policies and the turmoil in the world. Why? Because you're busy twittering, I guess. Whatever, whatever. Get the rubbing alcohol. Don't drink it, though, boys and girls. Although you don't know the difference between methyl and ethyl alcohol, wood alcohol can kill you. You see, it says alcohol on it, but you can die drinking wood alcohol. That's why you must not drink it. Now, I realize that that may be considered some kind of elitist statement. What you mean I can't drink methyl alcohol? What are you telling me what I can drink and what I can't drink? What kind of trickery is this? Methyl groups, ethyl groups. I don't understand that, therefore it has no meaning. I'm going to drink any cheap alcohol that I want. That's the mentality that you see in the political process. These people are drinking wood alcohol and spewing it out on the internet as though it's truth. Well, we can only do what we can do. As they say, tend your own garden, which is what I've been trying to do here on the Savage Nation. Again, we open up a line at 855-407-282. What a blue Monday it's been. Ah, yeah, what a blue Monday it's been. One hateful, racially charged speech after another by the left-wing fanatics who have seized power. And not for the good of mankind, nor for the good of the nation. They're stirring up something very bad, infidels. And I'm afraid that when that firestorm erupts, none of us will be safe. Which is why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War out in October. I'll be back in a moment. Be here or be nowhere. Got to tell her that I'm on. It is the Savage Nation. Want me to talk about the Sudanese woman ordered to die for her Christian faith? Want me to talk about the fact that Obama finally fired the VA official over the deaths of veterans? Want me to talk about Hillary Clinton wearing glasses to treat her double vision? You want me to talk about Bozo's harem in Nigeria and Obama doing nothing? I mean, what do you want me to talk about? I'm talking about what I want to talk about, which is how it comes and how it goes. Whatever comes up, I'll do. See, I'm starting to think about the election now. If a candidate ran who had a big head of hair against Hillary now, because I think she would beat a Republican if she was comatose. If they brought her out on a stretcher, I hope to God she gets well, and she is well, but if they brought her out on a stretcher, she could win, given that the Republicans have nobody to compete with her right now. So if a candidate ran with a big head of hair and was named, let's say, Gluten Warming, he just might be able to beat a comatose Hillary Clinton. Well, he's going to say, hi, I'm Gluten Warming, and I want to be your next president. Now, why do I say someone named Gluten Warming could win? Because everyone knows what gluten, I mean, they heard the word, they don't know what it is, even though we're on gluten-free diets, they have no idea what gluten is or why it's bad. And they're sure they get better when they stop eating gluten-rich foods. So they know what gluten is. They know warming is bad. They think cold is good. But at least the name recognition will be there. Gluten Warming. Hi, I'm Gluten Warming, and I want to be your next president. Not a bad skit. The news out there is so horrible, I dare not even talk about it. Two illegal aliens buried one of a woman alive. Oh, yeah. No, they all come here to work. They're all better than you. Ask Obama. Most of them are just folks wanting to reunite with their families. A New Jersey woman was buried alive in a shallow grave by her landscapers, both illegals, after he offered the driver to buy a new car. She had $6,000 in cash. So they covered her eyes and mouth with duct tape and threw her in an open pit while she was alive. But apparently under Obama's amnesty push, they would have been made instant citizens. In fact, under the new Homeland Security chief, they would probably be released right now because they haven't yet been convicted of burying her alive. The evil, racist police in New Jersey just accused them of that. That's all. They haven't been convicted. Landscaper Carlos Alicia Antonetti of Camden and one of his employees, Ramon Ortiz of Pensauken, told investigators they buried her alive, according to authorities. So according to Obama, they should be released because they haven't been convicted. That's all. I mean, they haven't been convicted yet. They may have admitted it, but that's no reason to not deport them and arrest them and deport them. They're probably good citizens. I mean, they just saw the money and went for it. Nothing wrong with that. It's just burying someone alive. It's a cultural thing. It's the way it's done by the drug cartels in the homeland. So what the heck? Why not do it to a woman in New Jersey? Get the picture. I mean, I can't even read this stuff. The thing is that now we have a Hindu nationalist, Narendra Modi, claiming victory as India's next prime minister, and most people don't care. He won in a landslide. And, of course, the liberals are attacking him, calling him an anti-Muslim. You know what's interesting to me? That the despicable people in the media who have destroyed America by backing criminals rather than cops, they'd rather support Muslims than Hindus. They don't even understand the issue, but they're already saying he's anti-Muslim. How is that possible? Why is it that American liberals are in love with Muslims? Can you explain it to me one way or the other? Why is that? Why do they not like Hindus, and why do they sort of favor Muslims? They should be happy that a Hindu nationalist won. There is a Muslim country next to India. It's called Pakistan. And the reason it was carved out of India and that Muslims moved there was because the Muslims couldn't get along with the Hindus. So Gandhi moved them. And although Gandhi meant well, a million people died on that horrible voyage from India to Pakistan. It shows you what is the road to you-know-where is paved with good intentions. I mean, Gandhi meant well. He wanted to bring India to peace. He wanted to bring the Muslims and the Hindus together. So he said, I'll tell you what, let's carve out a huge chunk of India. We'll make it for Muslims only. And now what's happened? Muslims now want all of India. It's not good enough for them. So finally the Hindus said, enough is enough. We're an ancient nation. We don't want any harm to come to our Muslim citizens. But we're going to make certain that the nation remains culturally, linguistically, religiously a Hindu nation. So the liberals don't like him. They hate him. And the U.S. once declared him persona non grata. And he won by a landslide. Can you name one candidate in America who stands like Modi does for our borders, language, and culture? Any one of them who will take on the illegal alien lobby like La Raza, who is now running the White House on immigration? Can you name one American candidate who's spoken about this issue? I can't.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
When you watch a show like The Walking Dead, you don't think it's about a black guy, a black woman, an Asian guy, a gay couple, and some white people. You think it's about a bunch of folks trying to escape some zombies, right? Period. And then when some folks got all worked up about a cereal commercial with an interracial family, you all were probably thinking, really? What's the problem with that? When folks made a big deal about Jason Collins and Michael Sam coming out as gay, a lot of kids in your generation thought, what is the issue here?
So she's pandering now at every turn. This is the first lady now. This is not just a college teacher, which you'd expect from left-wing college teachers. Here is the first lady who abuses her privilege as first lady, in my estimation, by her many, many excessive trips, by her excessively large staff, by not permitting the press to travel with her to China. No one knows what she did there. One trip after the other, by flying their dog Bo to Martha's Vineyard last summer on an Osprey military helicopter, acting like the downtrodden minority, acting like the oppressed woman, acting as though she's in solidarity with everyone who's oppressed in the world. And we go on, but not to be outdone. There was Hillary Clinton, again, on message with the group. Listen to this one now. Neil, fire away.
As Secretary of State, I saw the way extreme inequality has corrupted other societies, hobbled growth, and left entire generations alienated and unmoored.
Well, how about in our society? Do you think that the extreme inequality created by your elites have hobbled our growth and have left entire generations alienated and unmoored? Listen to the next one where she acts like she's one of the poor in 18.
From Guatemala to Greece to Pakistan, I urged elites to pay their fair share, to provide services.
What?
That would be the base on which more of their fellow countrymen and women could climb out of poverty.
Here is a woman, perhaps the most powerful woman in the world, next to Nancy Pelosi, urging elites to pay their fair share. What is the fair share? How much of the Clinton Foundation money has gone into someone's pockets? You know about the corruption in the old Clinton Foundation, don't you? You know about the audits of the Clinton Foundation and what they've uncovered, don't you? You know about the slush fund on the... You don't know any of that. If the Clintons are not elites, tell me who are. Who are... I'm an elite? Well, I would say she's one of the most elite people on the planet. So now she's acting like she's down with what? A washerwoman in Guatemala? How do you feel about this government stoking racial divisions? And why do you think they do it? Do you think the members of the Obama administration are going too far in these commencement speeches? I certainly do. I believe that they're stirring up conflict on purpose. I'm going to ask you to listen to a soundbite from this weekend where the First Lady goes to a graduation in Topeka, Kansas, and immediately stirs up racial enmity in clip number 4. Just listen to this.
Because the fact is that your experience here in Topeka would have been unimaginable back in 1954.
Here we go again.
When Brown versus Board of Education first went to the Supreme Court,
again.
This would not be possible.
Again.
As
Animal
you all
farm.
Know, back then, Topeka, like so many cities, was segregated. So black folks and white
you
folks
hear this?
Had separate
you hear this?
Restaurants,
they want to turn the clock
hotels,
back.
Separate movie theaters, swimming pools, and, of course, the elementary schools were segregated, too.
How do you feel about the First Lady of the United States stirring up such racial enmity in this speech. But wait, if you think it's an isolated event, you're wrong. There is a war going on. If you were to listen to any of the several commencement speeches given by various members of the Obama administration over this weekend, including Nancy Pelosi, Eric Holder, and Michelle Obama, you would think that they were rallying troops for a coming civil war. I want you to now listen to the next one. Play any of them, Neil. The people don't believe what they're listening to. Listen to this one.
Codified segregation of public schools has been barred since Brown.
There you go again.
But in too many of our school districts, significant divisions persist and segregation has reoccurred, including zero-tolerance school discipline practices that, while well-intentioned and aimed at promoting school safety, affect black males at a rate three times higher than their white peers.
Now listen to that. Listen to what this lunatic just said. Zero-tolerance policies on various and sundry offenses in schools are affecting black males at a rate of three times higher than their peers, as if they're targeting black males, not because the black males are causing more mayhem. Do you understand what's going on here? It's Animal Farm. It's upside down. It's doublespeak. It's everything we were warned about. Everything we were warned about from the beginning of the consciousness of social engineers and social engineering. There's another clip. You ready for this? Here's John Kerry at Yale talking about poverty again. Here's a man, one of the richest men in the world. Listen to this now.
If we don't do more to coordinate an attack on extreme poverty, provide education, opportunity, and jobs, we invite instability, and I promise you, radical extremism is all too ready to fill the vacuum left behind.
Did you hear what he just said? He is literally saying that he will stir up the masses to riot and burn cities down. He just said radical extremism. What do you think Kerry meant by radical extremism is ready to fill the gap? It means the mobs have the Molotov cocktails. The mobs have the matches. They're just waiting for their marching orders from this administration that wants a conflagration, in my estimation. This administration which wants a conflagration, in my estimation. Three words that end in N. Why do you think they're doing this? Do you actually agree with me? Do you think that they're doing this on purpose? I do. They're all giving the same speech in a different form. They're trying to scare people and they're trying to stir up the masses to revolt. But it gets even better. In the next clip, little Timmy Geithner, remember him? The stooge frontman that they used for years to run the Treasury Department. The stooge now gets up there, a spoiled rich white boy from Queens, New York. Grew up in a well-to-do family. They took care of him. This jerk, Geithner, has the nerve to suddenly get down with the same message and says how well you do in life depends on the color of your skin. I'm not making it up. Listen to Geithner now.
We have tremendously high numbers of people living in poverty. We've had a long period where the median income has not grown. Big rise in inequality. And to an extent, it should not be acceptable to Americans. You know, how well you do in life today, how good your education is, how good your health care is, depends too much on the color of your skin or how rich your parents is. And that's something that should worry all Americans.
You lousy thing, you. You liar, you. How do you face your wife and children if you have them? How do you face your parents, Geithner? Aren't you ashamed that you've become... I have a word for it, but it's a German word that I fear using on the air because it'll be misinterpreted. Geithner, you're an embarrassment to the human race. How could you, a spoiled, rich white boy from Queens, New York, I think you grew up in one of the five towns, Lawrence or one of those towns, how do you have the nerve to get up there and make believe that you're down with the people who are oppressed in America? It's 2014, Geithner. Little Timmy Geithner joins Michelle Obama, joins Eric Holder, and it goes on. It goes on. It gets better now. You ready for this one? Here is none other than one of the wealthiest women in the world, perhaps the most powerful woman in the world, Nancy Pelosi, acting as though she's a member of the Occupy movement. When you listen to this, you'll understand why I tell you they're trying to stir up a civil war in this country. Listen to this now from Pelosi.
Our founders were successful disruptors of the then status quo. Being called a disruptor, in my view, is a very high compliment. You here in Berkeley are already disruptors in many ways. In 1964, Mario Savio and company were disruptors of the
status quo. A piece of garbage. A piece of garbage, Mario Savio.
When he and his activists occupied Sproul, their exercise of free speech could only travel as fast as television, radio, and newspapers.
Oh, my God. Listen to this
woman. Think of your possibilities.
Oh, my God.
It's all about you.
Did you listen to what this woman just said? She is one of the most powerful, one of the richest women on earth. A woman who has greatly enriched herself during her years in politics because of her genius. Stirring up the idiots at the University of California to go out and be disruptors. Citing Mario Savio, who was nothing, a loser, a sad sack, a nobody. No one remembers him. Now, why would Michelle Obama, Eric Holder, Timmy Geithner, and Nancy Pelosi on the same weekend come out and tell people to go out and to disrupt? Disruptors are good. How about disrupting Nancy Pelosi's office with some questions about her? You think she would take well to that? How about if the conservatives in America or fair-minded people in America went outside Nancy Pelosi's office and started asking questions about her, her finances? Do you think that she would welcome those disruptors? You know she wouldn't. What is it that they really want? They're flooding America with illegal aliens. They released thousands of criminals from Mexico, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and other countries that were imprisoned. They released them, and many of them went on to rape and murder again. Why are they releasing dangerous criminals onto the streets? Is this all tied into the coming civil war? Listen to me. You may say, I don't want to hear it anymore. I've heard it all before. No, you haven't heard it all before. Don't be a moron and think you heard it all before. You haven't heard all of it before. You probably heard none of it before. All you heard are clowns and entertainers pretending that all is well in this land. All is well, not all is not well in this land. We have the most dangerous fanatics in the history of the United States of America trying to set the nation on fire. It starts with rhetoric and then it moves to a Rodney King. It starts with rhetoric and it moves to a city burning. Is that what you want? You want your city to burn in the name of equality? Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Your child to be on a campus throwing Molotov cocktails? Is that what you want? Because that's what you're going to get unless you stand up and say, enough is enough from these left-wing fanatics. Just say no to Holder. Just say no to that liar, Michelle Obama, who talks about the 1954 civil rights era as though it's today to a group of African-American kids in a high school in Topeka, Kansas. Now, why would she say that to these children when they've grown up in a colorblind society? With every opportunity in the world, not only equal opportunity, I will dare say a better opportunity. And I know it for a fact that corporations bend over backwards to give minorities a boost up to show that they're nice and good. We know universities, every child knows that they're going to take minorities with lower grades, lower SATs. Everyone knows that for a fact. And very few people will say it. Everyone knows it for a fact. Even the most liberal white girl listening to this show knows it for a fact. But she's uncomfortable hearing it. Because she's been brainwashed into thinking that just saying what is racist. That's called brainwashing. Now, you know what I think. And that is this. In October, I have a major book coming out, Stop the Coming Civil War. I felt that the Bundy standoff was the beginning, the first shot in this war, when the government aimed telescopic sights at pregnant women and children, and only at the last minute were called off from killing innocent Americans who were simply exercising their rights of his free assembly. And here you have Nancy Pelosi saying, be a disruptor. What did she say about the Bundy standoff? She called him every name under the sun. What does Eric Holder say about people who exercise the rights of a free speech and free assembly? What do they say? They're not just hypocrites. They're very dangerous. They're very, very dangerous. Why do you think they're doing this? And moreover, do you think it's appropriate for universities to hire politicians to give speeches at graduations? When have you last heard a conservative of any stripe at any level give a speech at a college? The answer is never. We have let a small group of small-minded radical communists take over the universities and take over the blogosphere and take over the TV commentators and take over the editorials at papers like the New York Times. They don't represent the people. They don't even represent a large majority of the Democrat voters who are so ignorant they don't even know what's going on. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You come from all walks of life, and you've taken so many different paths to reach this moment. Maybe your ancestors have been here in Kansas for centuries. Or maybe, like mine, they came to this country in chains.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe your family just arrived here in search of a better life.
Oh, my God.
But no matter how you got here, you have arrived at this day together.
Do you think it's appropriate for a First Lady who was the most powerful woman in the world, who has used affirmative action her entire life to get where she is, to talk about her ancestors coming here in chains? How do you feel about this government constantly stoking racial divisions? She gave that speech to a group of African-American kids in a largely, I think a largely African-American high school, I'm not certain. Every commencement speech this weekend from one of these radicals, Holder, Michelle Obama, Nancy Pelosi, you name it, was the same message. Oppression and fighting against oppression, rising up against oppression, if need be through disruption, in other words, through violence. I am telling you they're planning something. And at the same time, here's a new story related to this subject. Nine presidents of public colleges earned over $1 million a year last year. Even though tuition has gone up, the number of college presidents at public colleges earning over $1 million a year more than doubled in the 2012-2013 fiscal year from the year before. I have the names of these greedy grifters. And I'll ask you again, don't you think that all of these powerful rich people, Pelosi, Michelle Obama, Timothy Geithner, John Kerry, college presidents, don't you think they're just trying to stir the kids up so the kids don't march outside their offices and say, wait a minute, for God's sakes, the tuition went up and you're making over $1 million a year at a public college? You don't see what they're doing? I see what they're doing. We have a naive, brainwashed man, an unknown senator who rarely appeared in the Senate, who was brainwashed very young to hate the society as at large, a man who was brainwashed to come before the people and hoodwink the people, selling them equality and fairness by giving them one speech after another about inequality and unfairness, will continue to marginalize only one segment of the population, one and only one. They call them the rich, or they call them this, or they call them that. But every speech tells you who they're really targeting. And it's very worrisome, and that's why I have to play for these speeches for you. You don't want to hear it? I understand. You want me to talk about meatballs and spaghetti? You want me to be funny, Mike? Hey, Mike, be funny. Mike, come on, Mike. Lighten up, Mike. Mike, Mike. Hey, Mike, be funny. What if I tell you I'm concerned that our mild-mannered constitutional Professor Barack Obama, in my opinion, is like Pol Pot.
Savage.